Married at First Sight. Chapter 4301. After retiring, Audrey developed the habit of going to bed early and waking up early. Liberty was sure that Audrey was already in bed by now. Take care of yourself. Don't overwork, don't Maroba's rush, just take your time, Audrey advised. Liberty acknowledged her advice before ending the call. That night, there were no more conversations. Over the next few days, while taking care of Catherine, Pedro was also quietly preparing to propose. Catherine knew what he was up to but pretended not to notice, letting him handle everything in silence. In the blink of an eye, it was the day of Catherine's discharge from the hospital. Liberty made time to accompany Pedro to pick her up. She also brought a bouquet of flowers. Pedro had bought flowers for Catherine as well. When Liberty entered with her bouquet, she saw Catherine already holding one and getting ready to leave. She smiled. You got everything done so quickly.
Yep, all set. My things are packed, and I'm officially discharged. I wish I had wings to fly home. If I stayed here any longer, I might have started growing mold.
Catherine joked. Seeing Liberty's bouquet, she chuckled. This hospital room practically turned into a flower shop while I was here. Fresh bouquets every day. The cleaning lady had to clear out the wilting ones constantly. Catherine held onto the flowers Pedro gave her, symbolizing good health and a fresh start. Well, today's your big day, Liberty said, handing over her bouquet. She nodded to Pedro in greeting. Duncan arrived a little later. Catherine turned to Liberty and said, I'm already happy that you came to pick me up. Why trouble Mr. Lewis? Given his difficulty walking, even with his bodyguards, it wasn't easy for Duncan to move around. Liberty glanced at Duncan. He said he had nothing else to do, so he tagged along. Are you ready to go? Let's get out of here, and let's not come back. Absolutely, Catherine said, beaming. Surrounded by her loved ones, she left the hospital with two bouquets in hand. At the entrance of the inpatient department, she ran into her three sisters-in-law. The former young ladies of the Farrell family had toned down their style, now dressing simply and wearing sunglasses and masks, likely to avoid recognition. Catherine, you're getting discharged today. Erica asked, surprised. You should have told us so we could come early to help you pack and take you home. Catherine smiled. There wasn't much to pack, and these two were enough to handle it. Though her sisters-in-law occasionally visited, their relationship wasn't close, so she hadn't informed them in advance. Are you sure you're okay to leave? You still look pale. Maybe you should stay a little longer and recover properly, Anya, the second young lady of the Farrell family, observed with concern. She then turned to Pedro. Mr. Fraser, please make sure Catherine takes it easy at home. Let her rest and give her plenty of nutritious food, especially foods that help replenish blood. She lost a lot due to her injury. Pedro nodded. Don't worry, second young madam. I'll take good care of her. While Catherine's brothers had betrayed her, their wives weren't involved in their schemes. Erica had overheard bits and pieces and had even warned Catherine. After Catherine's hospitalization, the three sisters-in-law visited her and apologized on their husband's behalf. But Catherine held them blameless. Everyone was responsible for their own actions. If her brothers had tried to harm her, that was on them, not their wives. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4302. Chapter 4302. The three sisters-in-law followed the group. Catherine still lived in the Farrell family mansion, so naturally, they all headed back there. Returning to the home they had lived in for over a decade, the sisters-in-law felt Maroba's a wave of emotions. It was as if they had stepped into another world. When they married into the Farrell family, they thought they'd live in this mansion forever. Some had even dreamed of becoming the true lady of the house. Now, all of that was gone. Their mother-in-law had passed,
their father-in-law had returned to his hometown, and their marriages had suffered. Marco had even divorced. The three families had been forced to move out of the Farrell mansion. From the moment Liberty took control, the Farrell family had no place for them. They no longer even considered themselves part of the Farrells. All they wanted now was a stable, peaceful life. In truth, their lives could still be good if their husbands didn't self-destruct. But their husbands couldn't let go. They were unwilling to accept reality, clinging to a sense of injustice. But fairness had never been guaranteed in this world. What could they do about it now? Even their formidable mother-in-law had ultimately met a tragic end. What trouble could their husbands possibly stir up now? Their father-in-law had tried to talk sense into them, but they hadn't listened. Now, they were paying the price. It was their own fault, no one else's. The three sisters-in-law didn't linger at the mansion for long. They felt awkward in Liberty's presence, and Liberty, for her part, showed no warmth toward them. She was now the head of the household. If the owner of the house didn't welcome them, what reason did they have to stay? Liberty had the butler escort them out. Once they were gone, she felt noticeably more at ease. Turning to Catherine, she said, "I don't like your sisters-in-law." "You don't have to deal with them anymore," Catherine replied. "If you don't like them, there's no reason to keep in touch." Liberty nodded. "Exactly. I won't force myself. Your second and third sisters-in-law are still married to your brothers. And let's be real, husband and wife are a unit. They're family." Then, she gave Catherine a serious look. "Don't get too close to them. Right now, they seem fine with you, but that's only because they know they've lost. Who's to say they won't secretly resent you and try to strike when you least expect it?" She continued, "We may not intend to harm others, but we must always be cautious. You never had a great relationship with them before, and that's unlikely to change." Catherine pursed her lips. "I understand. I don't have any strong feelings toward them anyway." "Same goes for your nieces and nephews," Liberty added. "Keep your distance. Once you leave this place, cut ties where you can." Catherine didn't argue. She knew Liberty was right. "Where are the guys?" she asked, noticing Pedro and Duncan weren't around. "They're in the kitchen," Liberty replied. Catherine frowned. "Pedro can cook, but why is Mr. Lewis in there? It's not easy for him to move around." Liberty smiled. "He's fine. The kitchen is a small, safe space for him. He's doing rehab every day and making progress." She believed Duncan would walk again soon, strong and steady. Duncan was just as determined. He was desperate to stand on his own, to be her rock, to protect her from the storms of life. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4303. Chapter 4303. Liberty said, "At home, he usually cooks for us. He says he's not very good at it and needs the practice. But I think his cooking is delicious." Catherine smiled. "When there's love, everything tastes better." Liberty got up, checked the kitchen, then returned to Catherine and sat down. In a low Maroba's voice, she asked, "Pedro's planning to propose to you. Has he hinted at anything?" Catherine shook her head. "Pedro never mentioned a proposal. We're getting our marriage certificate the day after tomorrow. Whether he proposes or not doesn't matter to me. In the end, he'll be mine for life." Liberty was about to say something, but the butler entered the room, interrupting their conversation. "Miss Liberty, Miss Catherine, there's a young woman outside. She says she's Miss Liberty's assistant and would like to meet with her." The two women exchanged glances before Catherine teased, "Liberty, your all-around assistant is finally here." "But why is it a woman?" Liberty instructed the butler to let the assistant in. After he left, she replied, "There's no rule that assistants must be men. There are women, too. When Pedro talked about the base, he mentioned there were female trainees. But very few, Catherine pointed out. The training is brutal, and women tend to be more emotional. Some make it into the base, but almost none pass the assessment to become a personal assistant to the matriarch. Catherine had asked Pedro about it before, but he never shared details of the training. He insisted it was confidential, even the matriarch wasn't allowed to know. Since female assistants were so rare, both women were eager to meet the new recruit. Anyone who passed the assessment and earned the role was no less capable than Pedro. Soon, the butler led in a woman dressed in tight black clothing. She had short, cropped hair almost like a man's. Standing over 5'7", she had a slim, model-like figure, a plain face, piercing eyes, and a sharp, competent demeanor. She walked quickly, her movements precise and efficient. She followed the butler inside, her expression unreadable. Then, standing before Liberty, her face softened with respect. "Master." Liberty, slightly surprised, asked, "You already know who I am?" "Yes, Master. I received your photo before leaving the island." After passing the assessment, trainees awaited placement, sometimes for years. They were only assigned when a new matriarch took over or needed an assistant. Pedro had been selected early when the former matriarch requested an assistant for her successor. Now, it was this woman's turn. She pulled a folded envelope from her pocket and respectfully handed it to Liberty. "Master, this is my resume." Liberty took the envelope, unsealed it, and unfolded the document inside. It contained details of the assistant's training and assessment results from the moment she entered the island until she left. Her name wasn't listed, only a code name, Michaela. She was 30 years old and had entered the island at the age of 3. She had spent 27 years in training. After reading Michaela's resume, Liberty passed it to Catherine. "Married at First Sight, Chapter 4304. Chapter 4304. Catherine shook her head. "Liberty, I'm not the successor anymore. She's your assistant. You should know her background. I don't need to read it." She had read Pedro's resume before. But Pedro was her man. Since Catherine declined, Liberty folded the resume, placed it back in the envelope, and set Morobazit on the coffee table. Then she turned to Michaela. "Have a seat." Michaela remained standing. "Master, after reporting in, I need to settle into my residence. I won't stay with you unless instructed otherwise." Her contact number was listed in the resume. If Liberty needed her, she could call anytime. "Where will you be living?" Liberty asked. "Where my senior brother Fraser lives, that's where I'll be. It's the closest place to the Farrell family mansion." Assistants had the option to buy their own homes, but there was one condition: their residence couldn't be too far from the mansion. As all-around assistants, they were also bodyguards. Living too far away would make it difficult to fulfill their duties. Apart from settling in, Michaela also needed to establish her network, an essential part of her training. The assistants weren't just highly skilled individuals. They were trained to build connections and accumulate influence, which was later assessed by their superiors. However, betraying the matriarch using those connections came with severe consequences. Anyone who did would be hunted down by the island, no matter where they ran. Some assistants were even controlled by special methods. If they ever turned against the matriarch, their fate would be gruesome. Liberty said, "Your senior brother Fraser is cooking inside. Don't rush off just yet, stay for dinner. Afterward, he can take you to settle in." Michaela didn't refuse. She bowed slightly. "Thank you, Master. I'll go help with the cooking." Her loyalty revolved entirely around Liberty. Whatever Liberty asked, she would do. That was the mindset ingrained in her for 27 years. Now that she had officially reported in, she belonged to Liberty. As Pedro had once told Catherine, he was hers in life and even in death. Soon, From the kitchen, Pedro's voice rang out in surprise.
Michaela, it's you.
Brother Fraser. Long time no see. Her tone remained cool, as always. Pedro grinned.
It's been a while.
He paused his cooking, reached out, and shook hands with her.
Welcome to your new role.
Catherine could finally step away from the Farrell family's burdens. From now on, everything would be Liberty's responsibility. That was the destiny of the Farrell family matriarchs. Pedro introduced Michaela to Duncan.
Mr. Lewis, this is Michaela, my junior sister. She's here to take over my duties.
Then he turned to Michaela.
This is Mr. Lewis, the matriarch's husband.
He's the fourth young master of the Lewis family in Wiltspoon.
Michaela acknowledged Duncan politely but without the same deep respect she showed Liberty. She likely understood the unspoken truth: no matter who the matriarch married, their role in the family was clear. For many, the husband of the matriarch was little more than a means to produce an heir.
Married at First Sight, Chapter 4305.
Chapter 4305. When Duncan saw that Liberty's assistant was a woman, a weight lifted off his chest. He had heard that Matriarch Farrell's all-around assistant was highly capable, and he'd been worried that Liberty's assistant might be a strong, young man like Pedro, someone who could outshine him. Thankfully, Liberty's assistant was Maroba's a woman. After Pedro and the others prepared the meal, the group ate together. Once they finished, Liberty decided to head back to the company, leaving the Farrell family mansion with Duncan. Meanwhile, Michaela returned to her residence to tidy up. That left only Catherine and Pedro in the mansion. Shortly after, Pedro received a phone call. He turned to Catherine and said,
"Miss, I have to step out for something urgent."
Catherine nodded.
"Go ahead.
You don't need to stay with me." Once Pedro left, Catherine wandered the courtyard for half an hour before heading back inside to rest. That evening, her phone rang.
"Miss, I'm in the lobby downstairs. I'd like to take you out to dinner. Will you do me the honor?"
Pedro's voice carried a warm charm. Catherine glanced out the window. The sky was dark. She had unknowingly slept until evening.
"What time is it?" she asked.
7 o'clock, Pedro replied. "I've already booked a room at the Fortress Hotel and ordered our meal. We can head straight there, no waiting." He had arranged everything in advance. Catherine smiled.
"All right. Give me 10 minutes.
She ended the call and quickly got ready. Exactly 10 minutes later, she came downstairs, dressed for the evening. Pedro was waiting at the foot of the stairs, watching her with a smile.
"Why the dinner invitation tonight?" she asked as she descended.
Pedro extended his right hand, and she placed hers in his palm. He held onto it, and when she reached the last step, she naturally took his arm. As they walked outside, Pedro finally answered.
"I just wanted to take you out. And after dinner, I have a surprise for you."
Catherine raised an eyebrow.
"A surprise? That sounds mysterious."
Pedro chuckled.
"If I tell you now, it won't be a surprise anymore."
She studied his face, trying to guess what he had been busy with lately.
"Fine, I won't ask. I'll just wait and see."
As they stepped outside, a cold wind hit, making Catherine shiver. Pedro immediately wrapped an arm around her shoulders.
"You should have worn something warmer."
"I'm not actually cold," she reassured him.
"It's just the sudden temperature change. I was in a heated room, and now the wind feels extra chilly."
Her outfit was plenty warm, yet she still felt a lingering chill.
"I've been feeling colder than usual these past 2 days," she admitted.
"It's late March, almost April," Pedro noted as they approached the car. Like a gentleman, he stepped forward and opened the car door for her. Once she settled inside, he leaned in and buckled her seat belt.
Catherine laughed. "My arm is almost healed. Otherwise,
you wouldn't have let me leave the hospital. I'm not disabled, I can buckle my own seat belt. Pedro was being overly attentive. If he had his way, he'd probably carry her everywhere so she wouldn't have to walk. After getting into the driver's seat, Pedro said, I promised I'd take care of you. If I don't, Miss Liberty will come after me. She pulled me aside and made it clear she wants me to take good care of you. She said you're not alone, that she and the people in Wiltspoon have your back. And since I've chosen to stand by you, I have to keep my word and stay loyal for life. Catherine was touched. It was comforting to know that so many people cared about her. Pedro added softly, but even if she hadn't told me, I'd still take care of you. You are my life. And who doesn't cherish their own life? Married at First Sight, Chapter 4306. Chapter 4306. Pedro loved Catherine as if she were his very existence. As they drove off, he switched on the heater. It snowed in some areas today, he mentioned. Not surprising, Catherine said. Up north, it still Moroba snows well after the new year. She turned her head, glancing at the back seat. No sign of anything unusual. Was Pedro planning to propose? But there were no flowers, no gift boxes, nothing that hinted at a proposal. Then again, since they had just been discharged from the hospital and planned to get their marriage certificate the day after tomorrow, maybe he'd propose tomorrow instead. In front of Liberty, Catherine had already confirmed their plans to get married. A proposal wasn't necessary. Still, she hoped for one. What others had, she wanted to. Before long, they arrived at the Fortress Hotel. Just as they were walking in, they ran into Hayden at the entrance. Hayden, now officially the third young lady of the York family, still retained her CEO status at Queen Enterprise. She hadn't switched to wearing women's clothes. Her short hair and black suit gave her the same confident, commanding presence as before. If anything, she looked even more handsome than Kevin. Catherine, Hayden greeted first. You're out of the hospital. Yes, I was discharged today. Miss Queen, are you back from your honeymoon? Catherine asked with a smile. Seeing Kevin emerging from the hotel, she assumed he was chasing after his wife. Hayden nodded. I got back 3 days ago. Work's been crazy, so I haven't had time to visit. I plan to stop by in a couple of days once I cleared my backlog. I appreciate it, Catherine said. Mr. Queen and Auntie visited me several times while I was recovering. Thank you for your concern. Are you here for dinner? If you need a table, I can ask Kevin to arrange a private room for you. Hayden glanced at Pedro, then turned to Kevin as if considering it. It was peak dining time, and the Fortress Hotel was packed. Pedro quickly spoke up. No need, Miss Queen. I booked a private room and ordered our meal in advance. No waiting required. Hayden didn't push the issue. All right, you two go ahead and enjoy your dinner. I just wrapped up a client meeting and already ate. Let's catch up another day. Sounds good, Catherine agreed. Hayden and Kevin left with their bodyguards. Watching them go, Catherine sighed. Miss Queen is still as stunning as ever, even after marriage. Now that Jensberg knew the truth that the Queen family's eldest son was actually their eldest daughter, people still couldn't help but marvel every time they saw Hayden. She wasn't just handsome. She was beautiful. Only after Hayden's car disappeared did Catherine and Pedro head into the hotel. Pedro always tailored their meals to Catherine's tastes. Tonight was no different. Every dish on the table was one of her favorites. But something felt off. Pedro, who usually ate quickly, was taking his sweet time. Tonight, he was moving as slow as an old woman savoring her last meal. Catherine patiently waited for him to finish. She had set down her chopsticks half an hour earlier, but he was still at it. Then, after receiving a message on his phone, Pedro finally placed his chopsticks down.
Miss, he said with a knowing smile.
I'm full.
Catherine narrowed her eyes.
Pedro, are you stalling for time? What surprise have you planned?
I can't wait any longer. Her curiosity was piqued.
Pedro simply grinned.
Be patient. The surprise will be revealed soon.
Catherine exhaled.
All right, I'll wait.
Her anticipation only grew.
Married at First Sight Chapter 4307. Chapter 4307. A few minutes later.
What's going on outside?
There are so many people watching.
Even the hotel guests are heading Maroba's out to see what's happening, Catherine remarked as she stepped out of the elevator. She noticed the crowd gathering outside and felt a surge of curiosity. Taking Pedro's hand, she quickened her pace toward the entrance.
It's breathtaking.
Who arranged the sea of flowers? She exclaimed.
Someone must be planning to propose here.
See how the flowers form the shape of a heart, another guest commented.
Whoever did this must be incredibly thoughtful and generous, someone else added.
Hearing the murmurs around her, Catherine suddenly stopped in her tracks.
Pedro, however, gently pulled her forward.
The people he had arranged for the event quickly signaled the crowd to step aside, making way for them.
As the onlookers watched the couple approach, realization dawned on them.
This was the proposal they had been speculating about.
When they recognized Catherine as the eldest daughter of the Farrell family, their initial surprise faded into understanding.
After all, Catherine and Pedro had always been close.
Anyone with a keen eye could tell they were in love.
It was widely known that before the previous head of the Farrell family passed away, she had entrusted her only daughter to Pedro Fraser.
Pedro had since been devoted to Catherine, standing by her side through everything.
Now, seeing him propose, the crowd couldn't help but admire their bond.
Although Catherine had stepped away from leading the Farrell family and had returned control to its rightful heirs, Pedro had been with her for 2 years.
His unwavering loyalty meant that he would stand by her for life.
He belonged to Catherine in both life and death.
Marry him.
Marry him.
Say yes.
Oh, Miss Farrell, if I could, I'd say yes for you.
Please, just say yes.
The crowd grew excited when Catherine didn't immediately take the bouquet or respond.
They were more anxious than Pedro, urging her to accept his proposal.
Catherine smiled, her face flushed with emotion.
She reached out, took the bouquet, and, in a clear and confident voice, said,
Pedro, I do.
I want to marry you.
Pedro had known her answer all along, but hearing it aloud made his grin widen with pure joy.
He took out a diamond ring from a small velvet box, gently took Catherine's hand, and slid the ring onto her finger before standing up.
Then, without hesitation, he swept her into his arms.
Laughing, Catherine playfully lifted the bouquet.
Careful, you're going to crush me.
Pedro spun her around joyfully, causing the crowd to erupt into applause.
Under the warm cheers and blessings of everyone present, Pedro's proposal was a success.
Married at First Sight Chapter 4308.
Chapter 4308.
Dizzy from being spun around, Catherine clung to Pedro as he finally set her down.
They locked eyes, their emotions unspoken but deeply felt.
Then, Pedro leaned in and kissed her.
So romantic.
So sweet.
It reminds me of when my husband proposed to me years ago, an elderly woman in the crowd mused sentimentally.
The onlookers offered their heartfelt blessings, some envious, others reminiscing about their own love stories.
When Pedro finally released her from the kiss, Catherine's face was even redder.
In his eyes, she was radiant, even more beautiful than ever.
He rarely saw her flustered like this, and it mesmerized him.
Why are you looking at me like that? She whispered shyly.
Pedro leaned in close to her ear.
Because you're stunning, Catherine.
I can't take my eyes off you.
She lightly tapped his chest.
You're still calling me miss. Pedro chuckled softly.
Catherine, he said, this time with even more tenderness, before kissing her again. This time, the kiss was deeper, lingering until Catherine was breathless. When he finally pulled away, she buried her face against his chest, too shy to meet the eyes of the crowd. Stealing a glance, she saw that everyone was smiling, clapping, and cheering for them. Content and overwhelmed with happiness, she wrapped an arm around Pedro's waist. In this lifetime, having Pedro by her side was her greatest happiness. After a moment, Pedro loosened his embrace and turned to the crowd. They both expressed their gratitude for everyone's support before Pedro gently took Catherine's hand.
Come with me, he said.
Where to? She asked.
You'll see.
With that, they left, walking hand in hand under the watchful eyes and well wishes of the crowd. Seated in the passenger seat, Catherine held the bouquet tightly, her face still glowing with joy. She couldn't stop smiling. She felt overwhelmed, almost dazed by the happiness that had taken over her heart. After a while, she took a deep breath, trying to calm herself. Looking at Pedro, she found him still smiling too.
Pedro, tonight was perfect. Thank you for such a beautiful proposal.
Keeping his eyes on the road, Pedro replied, Catherine, I promised you whatever others have, you'll have too.
And what you have, others might never get.
For something as important as marriage, he would never let her down.
Our wedding will be grand, a celebration to remember.
I won't let you marry me in a quiet, low-key way.
Pedro felt deeply that Catherine deserved more. Marrying him, an orphan who didn't even remember his parents, seemed unfair to her.
She was born into the Farrell family and had once been poised to lead it. Even though she had given it all up, her status was still far above his. Yet, she had never looked down on him. She had chosen to marry him, and for that, he was the luckiest man alive.
Catherine thought for a moment before saying, "There's no need to go overboard.
We don't have that many relatives or friends. A grand wedding with an empty guest list would feel awkward."
Pedro reassured her, "Don't worry about that. I'll make sure our wedding is filled with people who are genuinely happy for us. It won't be dull."
She trusted him completely.
"All right, then. I'll leave everything to you.
I'll just wait to be your most beautiful bride."
Smiling, she added, "By the way, Liberty told me we should send an invitation to my cousin Audrey after we pick a date. She'll definitely come to the wedding."
Pedro nodded.
"Of course. She'll be there."
Married at First Sight, Chapter 4309.
Chapter 4309.
Pedro said, "Even if Miss Hunt hadn't mentioned it, we would still send an invitation to your cousin once we set the wedding date. Whether she comes or not is up to her, but extending the invitation is our decision." As Catherine's assistant, Pedro spent almost every day by Maroba's her side. He knew exactly what she was thinking. Even if Audrey didn't want to attend, Pedro would still do everything he could to persuade her. He didn't want Catherine to feel like no one was celebrating her wedding. Audrey had a broad perspective. The grudges of the previous generation had ended with the passing of the Farrell family's patriarch. While she and Catherine would never have a normal cousinly relationship, it wasn't accurate to say she despised Catherine to the point of refusing to acknowledge her. In Pedro's eyes, Audrey actually admired Catherine. After all, they were family, sharing the same Farrell bloodline.
"All right then. After we get our marriage certificate, we'll have someone pick an auspicious date for the wedding. Then, you'll come with me to Wiltspoon to personally deliver invitations to my cousin and Serenity."
"Okay," Catherine agreed. "Serenity is about to give birth, so she probably won't make it to our wedding. If she wants to be polite, she might send young Master York in her place."
Pedro nodded. "That makes sense."
As they drove further into the suburbs, Catherine glanced out the window and asked, "Where are we going?"
Pedro smirked.
You'll find out soon.
Catherine chuckled.
So mysterious.
Let me guess, you bought a big villa out here for me.
This road leads to my company, you know.
Her personal company was located in the suburbs, a bit far from the city.
She also owned a townhouse nearby.
Before rejoining the Farrell family, a townhouse was all she could afford.
Now, though, buying a large villa wouldn't be an issue.
When it came to housing, Catherine didn't have high expectations.
As long as it was a place she could call home, that was enough.
I haven't bought a house yet.
I'll wait until you decide where you want to settle after we're married, Pedro said honestly.
Catherine had always talked about leaving Jensburg, so Pedro held off on purchasing property.
For now, she had plenty of real estate in Jensburg, her inheritance from her mother.
Let's not buy anything just yet.
I might sell my properties in Jensburg.
With that money, we can settle in a city with milder winters and buy a new home, a place where we can build our family.
In time, it'll grow into a big home filled with loved ones.
Catherine imagined growing old with Pedro, surrounded by their children and grandchildren, each of them successful in their own right.
Whether they inherited the family assets or built their own empires, they would make the Farrell name proud.
All right, Pedro agreed.
No matter what Catherine wanted, he would always support her.
An hour later, the car finally came to a stop.
Catherine looked out the window and saw they had parked in front of a park.
A park?
It's late.
Why are we visiting a park at this hour?
She noticed that the entrance was still open and the street lights were on.
However, aside from the many security guards at the gate, no one else was around.
Pedro stepped out first, walked around to her side, and opened the door.
As Catherine prepared to step out, he gently straightened her coat and said, "It's cooler in the suburbs with fewer people around."
Catherine hopped out of the car.
"I'm not afraid of the cold."
She glanced at Pedro and smirked.
"Did you book the entire park for us?
Are we going on a nighttime stroll?"